Your Bibles, please, to 2 Peter chapter number 3. I want you to ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. And thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to be in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, we can come like this and enjoy the singing and the testifying and the time of prayer. Lord, it's good to be in your house, and we want to say thank you and praise your name that we come to worship and adore you. And Father, until then, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus and keep on going forward for the glory of God. And we'll thank you and praise you in all you have done, what you are doing, what you shall do. Bless everyone's come this way tonight. I pray you touch their hearts, encourage their lives. Anyone here tonight not saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would bring conviction and draw that individual to Jesus and save them for Jesus' sake. And we'll praise you and thank you for all you do. And we plead the blood tonight and pray you'd touch us to preach. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to try to begin a message tonight on this subject, Christian growth. In verse 18, he said, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to pick that up and think about that growing and make some comparison with physical, with a spiritual, and make some application of that. And four or five of those, I'll not do but one tonight, the Lord willing anyway. And then we'll pick up from there, and Lord willing, of Wednesday nights to come and talk about this Christian growth. I think it's important that we talk about it and preach about it because we need to grow as Christians. Now in this chapter, he's been talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus, and he's talking about being ready for his coming and dealing with that. And talked in verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And we've many times mentioned to you that from creation unto flood, about 2,000 years. 2,000 years from flood to Christ. About 2,000 years from Christ till now. That makes 6,000 years. It's a 1,000-year millennium reign to come after the rapture, after the tribulation period. And so that means that we're living somewhere in the closing days. Now, I'm not a time setter. I cannot tell you when Jesus will come. I just know that he will come. And he said he would, and he will. And he went away, he'll come again. So the Lord's coming. Look at verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but his longsuffering. To us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the will of God. So tonight, if you're unsaved, it's God's will that you be saved. And so in verse 14, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace and without a spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering, this is verse 15 now, and account that the long suffering of the Lord, of our Lord, is salvation. And so we need to realize the long suffering of God is for our salvation, people to get saved, folks to get right with God. God's long suffering toward us. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Now here he's saying to you, and talking about the coming of the Lord and the last days and Antichrist be coming on the scene and all that. But we know the rapture takes place somewhere in here, and we've got to get out. But in the last days, God said to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. He said in the last days these things would come. And so what he's saying here in verse 17, he's been talking about the coming of the Lord and God's long-suffering. He wants people to get saved. He desires that. And he's saying, now we need to consider this fact, beloved, that we not be lose our joy and quit singing the song on the inside as we wait until that day. And so we need to be very diligent about our Christian life and be busy about the work of the Lord. I'll have more to say about this later, but of all the doctrines of the Bible, did you know that the biblical separation, biblical Christian separation is the most talked of Bible doctrine there is? And we say maybe least about it, but God expects us to be a separated people living for God. But you can't be a separated people living for God unless you're saved, unless you're born again. And so here, as we talk about growing a baby, Brother Waters talked about coming up to see his grandbaby. And I don't blame him. Amen. Grandbabies are precious. And so he wanted to see that grandbaby and made his way this way. I'm glad he did. That grandbaby, though, will begin to grow. If it doesn't grow, then they'll want to take it to a doctor and find out why it doesn't grow. But they expect it to grow. We expect it to grow. Well, God's blessed her wonderfully. I tell you right now, she certainly had that baby in a hurry and went to a chiropractor at 11 o'clock, and about 2 o'clock a baby was born. And moving on time-wise pretty good, I'd say. And baby doing all right. She's doing good. We're praising God and thanking God for the blessings of it. And so there's little ones that you consider and think about them growing and coming on. I was thinking about a preacher friend up in Virginia over in Bland, and he has a daughter. And they came by the office the other day, by the way. And he and his pastor, he's pastor now, but his pastor at Rooter Tree came by. And we fellowshipped a few minutes, a little while. But Brother Travis, he has a little girl that has a problem with her muscles developing and not able to walk yet. And doctors have said maybe by the time she goes to school. But who knows? We don't know that. All we know is that God's in charge and God can help her. If we need to pray for her, amen. Ask God to help. But that is a problem about growing, muscles developing. And so as Christian people, we got to get born before we can grow. And grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes we try to get people to grow and never got born. And we're spinning our wheels on that. So let me say to you tonight, if you've never been born again, you can't grow in grace, knowledge of the Lord Jesus, because you don't know him as your Savior. You've got to be born in the family of God. It's not a question that, well, it'd be a nice thing to happen to you. The question is, are you saved? Because it's an absolute necessity that you get born into the family of God to be growing grace and knowledge of Jesus. But after we are born, after we are saved, after we come into the family of God, and we become a child of God, then we begin to, we ought to desire the sincere milk of the Word. As babes in Christ, we desire that Word. And that's good evidence of being saved. As you know, a little baby, they want that bottle. They want that milk. They desire that. They hunger for that. And good evidence somebody being saved is they'll hunger for the Word of God. They'll hunger for that milk of the Word and get into it and learn thereby. And so getting born in the family of God. So we're going to talk about Christian growth, but I want to talk about this first of all. A baby born has to breathe. If it doesn't breathe, it's never going to grow anyway. And so it's got to breathe. And I want to put this together, pray in the Holy Spirit together here tonight. And I think you'll see the correlation here in a minute. But I'm glad for the Holy Spirit. And Romans 8:9 says, and ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. The Holy Spirit comes to abide on the inside when you get saved. Is that not correct? When you get born in the family of God, the Holy Ghost comes to live and abide on the inside. And so if you have not the Spirit of God, then you're not saved. You're not His. If you are saved, then there's something on the inside. Praise God that wasn't there before you got saved, but He's there now that you are saved. That's the Spirit of the Holy God. In John chapter 3 and verse 7 and 8, Jesus said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth." And so it is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The wind, you ever seen the wind? You ever caught the wind? You ever been able to hold the wind? You ever been to bottle up the wind and all that? You can't do that. But you can hear the wind rustling tree leaves. You can feel the wind blowing, but you can't see the wind or touch the wind or handle the wind. But it's there. He said that's how it is being born again. And praise God, it is. Amen. I got thinking about getting saved, getting born in the family of God, and the Holy Spirit working in my heart, bringing conviction and drawing me to Jesus. And I tell you right now, I can't explain it. I can't put it all down on paper. I couldn't write you a formula for it. I know one thing for sure. The Holy Spirit of God did a work in my heart. And when I yielded myself, and that was a choice I had to make, to yield myself under the wound of the Holy Spirit, He was showing me how lost I was and showing me that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that He died for me and rose from the dead, and that He'd save me if I come to Him. And when I surrendered myself and yielded myself unto Him and obeyed Him and stepped out by faith and come to Him, He saved me by His marvelous grace. As a transformation took place, a regeneration took place on the inside, that is wonderful and beyond words of explanation. All you can do is say, glory, hallelujah. I'm glad I got saved and born in the family of God. Amen. That's what the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. He births us in the family, seals us in there, baptizes in the body, seals us in, and thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit of God. He works also in praying, and we must pray. Now, what breathing is to the child, praying is to the child of God. I want you to look with me, please, in the book of Romans, chapter number 8 and verse number 26. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, I said we'll see a correlation between the Holy Spirit and praying, and here it is. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought. Now, get that. You don't know how you ought to pray without the Spirit of God helping you to pray. And by the way, people say sometimes they're unsaved and they say, well, preacher, I pray. You don't pray except God save me. When you're a sinner, that's the only prayer God will hear that you pray. Amen. You can't pray without help of the Holy Spirit. And so if you don't have Him living within you, how are you going to pray? Holy Spirit may be convicting you and drawing you to pray, God save me. But that's as far as you can go till you get saved and born in the family of God. For we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he's saying the Spirit helps us in our praying with groanings that we can't even utter. We don't even know how to say it. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit. He searches us, but he knows the mind of God, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And there the Spirit is making intercession according to the will of God. And again, I remind you that we need to always pray according to the will of God, as God's will be done. Amen. And people sometimes criticize praying about somebody being sick, if it be God's will to heal them, and say we ought to have faith and believe they're going to do it. Well, if God seals that to your heart, you can do that. But I'm telling you, if He hadn't sealed something to your heart about that, we better pray according to the will of God. If God's will, Spirit even prays according to the will of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. And you breathe without ceasing. And you have to breathe, or else you got problems. And so we need to breathe. We need to pray. And so we need this prayer life. We need to be seasoned with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helping us to pray as we ought to pray, and we ought not pray amiss. In James 4:3 says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust." And so we need to pray unselfishly, praying for others, praying God help them, and God help us and guide us, that we may be what God would have us to be, as we ought to be, for the glory of God. And as we do that, we need that praying and asking God to help us, just like a baby breathing needs that air so he can breathe right. And you as an adult, you need air too, amen. If you don't have air, and ever have sleep acne, you need air, because you quit breathing, and then they'll put you on a machine. You feel like a horse tied up in a stall, but they put you on a machine, put the in your nose or on your mask on your over your nose and mouth, so it'll make you breathe when you quit breathing. Air's going in, forcing you to breathe, and that helps you to rest better. If you don't, you're liable to jump out of bed, kick your wife, or do something. Amen. A little bit of all that's happened to me, but anyway, I'm telling you, you got to breathe right. If you don't breathe right, things are just not right. And so I'm telling you tonight, if we don't pray right, things are just not right. We have to pray. And so I'm trying to say to you tonight, if you're ever going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, if we're going to grow as God wants us to grow, then we have to breathe, and if we're going to breathe, then we're going to have to pray in the Spirit of God helping us and guiding us and directing us in our praying. Amen? And so we need to pray. It's a necessity that we pray. It's not just pray if we want to. It's a necessity that we pray. We have fellowship with him. We need that every day. I was thinking when we got down to pray a while ago, it's a privilege to pray. It's an opportunity to pray. It's an opportunity to fellowship with God. What a privilege that is. And it's an opportunity for us to make our requests known unto God. It's an opportunity for God to speak to our hearts. And prayer is a two-way thing. And we're not only talking to God, but we ought to listen to what God has to say as we do pray. And as we meditate upon our praying, then God can help us to hear what he has to say. There's a whole lot of noise out here in the airways, and I get amazed at this. I'm just an old country boy, grew up in the hills of Virginia, so I don't know a whole lot about a whole lot of things. But I cannot understand for the life of me how there can be so many things in the airwaves. And if you have the right equipment and the right frequency, if they hear that, it'll pick it up, and you can hear the radio, or you can listen to talk to somebody on your cell phone, or something else can work through that. Isn't that amazing that that works that way? On your cell phone, they can set the time of day, what day it is, and you not ever touch it. And that happens somehow because it picks it up. They know how to do it, got the right airwaves for it to do that. And it looks to me like when you're talking on a cell phone, everybody's airwaves be coming in. And be a mess, wouldn't it? But it's not so. It filters out everything except what's supposed to be coming in. And so it amazes me that happens. Prayer. And there's a whole lot of praying going on, but God filters it all out. And he knows exactly what the Holy Spirit's in, what Spirit praying is. And God filters it out and gets it on the right. I like to be on the right frequency with God. So, hallelujah. Amen. When you get on the right frequency, you get tuned in, dialed in right, then you begin to really pray. And God, that's praying in the Holy Ghost. That's praying in the Spirit. And we need that kind of praying if we're really going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need that prayer. Hey, it's a necessity that we pray. Moses prayed. Do you remember his praying? As he prayed, he'd been up on the mount, and he received from God the commandments, came down off the mount. They made the golden calf. They were worshiping idol, and they messed up bad. And Moses, he went up with God, and God said, "Let me alone. I'm going to destroy the whole crowd. I'm going to destroy every one of them. I'll take you and raise up a nation." And Moses went and interceded for them and said, "If you'll not forgive them, then let me be accursed. Let me be cast away." Hey, God couldn't do that, wouldn't do that. But Moses pled for the people, else God would have destroyed them. Hey, did you know America tonight needs somebody, somewhere that'll plead for her? We need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for our churches. We need to pray across America in our church. Hey, we need God to help us in these days. We need God to help us. Families need God. I'm hearing more things all the time and realizing the fact that we need God's help. We need some help somewhere, God to help us. And so I'm saying to you tonight, if you don't know God, you need God. Amen. Need to pray in the Holy Spirit. Need God's help in praying. Moses interceded. We need some intercessors praying going on. I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be surprised about rewards given out. I believe some of the greatest rewards that will be given be somebody that's not anybody paid much attention to, but they had a prayer life with God, and they had a touch with heaven, and they got in touch with God in prayer, and God heard and answered and did many things. Brother Ronnie, I'm glad you and I have somebody praying for us. I'm thankful for people that pray for us. Amen. And ask God to help us. I want you to know tonight, if that was not the case, I don't believe I'd be standing here tonight. Somebody prayed for me. I'm glad somebody praying for me now. I'm glad these people now pray. Hey, we need to pray. We need to pray for those that are lost, those without God. They're on the prayer list. We got many of them there. And somebody on there is going to die and go to hell if we don't intercede to God for them and pray God's conviction down on them. We need to pray that, do we not? Do we not need to pray that and pray God help? And God would do that, and God would keep on. Solomon, you remember Solomon? He prayed, and God said, ask what you will. And he didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for a lot of things like that. But he said he wanted wisdom to know how to go in and out among the people, how to lead the great people of God. He asked for the right thing. You remember when the two women came? And each one claimed the baby was theirs, and one baby had died, the other didn't. And so they came to Solomon, and Solomon looked at him trying to determine which woman was really the mother of that baby. Both claimed the baby. And Solomon said, bring me a sword. And told the soldier, said, cut the baby in half and give half to one mother, half to the other mother, and that'll settle it. And the real mother cried out, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Let her have the baby. Let her have the baby. And Solomon said, give that woman the baby because she's a mother. That's wisdom. He knew the real mother would cry out. He knew the real mother wouldn't let that baby be killed. He knew the other woman's baby's already dead. She wouldn't care as much as the other woman did. And the real mother cried and said, let her have it. And Solomon asked God for wisdom, and he got wisdom. I realize there's some other things in Solomon's life, but I'm talking about praying. Asking God. You know, sometimes we ask God so selfishly. I said a while ago, out of the book of James chapter 4 and verse 3, we have not. We see, because we pray amiss, we don't get what we ask for because we ask for it on our own lust, own desires, own pleasure. But we need to pray in God's will for God's glory and ask God to help others and pray and intercede to God. Daniel prayed for understanding. Somebody said, but I can't understand what I'm reading in the Bible. Won't you ask the author to help you? Amen. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. The Spirit of God moved upon men of old, and they wrote as they were moved upon, inspired of God to write. And so here we have the Word of God. And you know the best, you read books, and then you meet an author that wrote the book. And boy, isn't that a blessing when you know that? And there's certain ones I met, and reading books, and you always feel, when you read again, there's always a difference about it. I'm glad to know the author of the book, amen. And so Daniel said, give me understanding. He'd had visions, and God was showing him things, and God was using him to write a book, and God was letting him see the future, and he said he wanted understanding. God helped him to understand what he needed to understand at that time. And then he said, when the right time comes, understand the rest of it. So he did that. You remember Ezra? I was preaching from Sunday. I mean, talking about Ezra in chapter 8. And Ezra's getting ready to go up now to Jerusalem. And he's going to go back up there and establish worship and so forth, make sacrifices. As he's doing so, and he said this. He said that we fasted. And as they fasted, I believe they were praying. And he said that we may know that the way we should go, we may know how we should go, and our little ones and our substance. He said, we need God's leadership and God's guidance. That's exactly what we need in praying. If we're going to grow in grace, just ask God which way to go, how we to live, who we would witness to, where we to be a witness, how we to give, what we to do, and how we to do it. Ask God to help us. We need to pray. If we're to grow, we're going to have to pray about that. And so we do that and keep on praying. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed and ask God, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not thy will, but not my will, but thy will be done. We need to pray for God's will to be done in our lives. It's not always what we want. It's what God wants is important. And there have been many times we desired something God didn't give it to us. It's a blessing he didn't give it to us. Amen. If he give us everything we ask for, we'd probably be in a mess. But God knows, and we need to pray according to God's will. Then these things happen to us sometimes, and we wonder why. I talked to somebody today, can't remember where and who, but right now, but I talked to somebody, and they're talking about the fact that as in sickness and getting older and that kind of thing, they were saying this. I don't count that as being something wrong. I just count it that I need grace and I need help. I need God to help me and to handle it and do it in the right way. And let God do what he wants to do. And that's exactly what we all need. Amen. We need that. John Revelator prayed, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And we need to pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus, but we need to be praying in the Holy Spirit that we'll be ready when he comes. Not ashamed. 1 John talks about not being ashamed before him at his appearing. He's going to appear. I don't want to be ashamed when he does. He said, grow in grace and knowledge of the Savior, and our Lord, Jesus Christ. We need to grow. As sure as you need to breathe, you need to grow in grace. You need to pray. If you're going to grow, you've got to pray. You've got to get in the Word of God. Pray. Ask God to help you. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Let the Spirit of God guide you in your praying, and he certainly will help you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Praying, growing in grace. We need to breathe. We need to pray. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to help us to pray. Lord, we realize the fact we know not how we ought to pray except the Spirit of God would help us. I ask in Jesus' name tonight that you'll speak to our hearts. Then, Father, we cannot grow unless we've been born in the family of God. Those that are here that's unsaved, they're lost, they're without God, I pray you speak to their heart. Bring conviction. I pray you draw them by your power. Then we pray, Lord, you'd help those that are saved. Help all of us see our need of praying. Then, Father, I pray you'd help us to pray. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.